Started. Last week, we were talking about the four things that Jude said that we need to do to have success, to build ourselves up, right? That's what we're talking about, building ourselves up. We were in Jude, verse 20, 21. There's only one chapter. If you find chapter 2 in Jude, in Jude, you need to throw that book out, whatever it is, because it is not the Bible. And so in Jude, verses 20, in 21, it says, "But you, beloved," and clearly he is speaking to the Christians, "but you, beloved," and you know, the reality is, in the scriptures, there are just times when the author is writing very specific to the Christian, to those who say, "I love Jesus." Because in here, and in this instance, the letter of Jude is all about a warning. It is all about beware, beware, because there's a fox trying to get in the hen house. Beware, because there are false teachers, there are apostates trying to come in and take over or come in and destroy the house of God. Because the reality, and this is kind of crazy to me, you would think, if someone wants to go to church, let them go to church, let them learn what they're going to learn, and let them go home and be done with them, right? Why is it that the world feels the need to come into the house of God, disrupt the house of God, separate the house of God, trash the house of God, take the people of God and twist their thoughts up so that all of a sudden they're in a whirlwind and it's like the world's in a whirlwind? Why can't you just leave us alone? Right? Wouldn't that be kind of cool? I don't know. Let us go out, and if you want to hear about Jesus, I'll tell you. If you want eternal life, I'll tell you. If you want to know the promises of God, I'll tell you. If you want to know what it's going to be like without Jesus, I'll tell you. But don't come into my house and try to destroy my house. There's no need in that. But yet people still find it necessary to destroy the Christian or try to destroy the whole way of life and the belief. And even Jesus says, listen, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Listen, they hated me, they're going to hate you. And people say, well, you know, you're so divisive when you say we and they, us and them. Well, there's a difference. Us that believe in God and those that don't. The separation is already there. God separated the sheep from the goats. Right? So when we get to this passage of Jude, Jude now goes into the positive. And I know so many people are like, oh, Pastor, Jude is heavy. It is heavy, but it's a pretty exciting book, right? Amen? How cool is it to learn some of the things that we've learned where we're going, oh my goodness, because it's taken us all through the scriptures and back and we're loving it. And now Jude says, hey, here's what you need to know to build yourselves up, to protect yourself, to guard your heart, to be strengthened so that when those who oppose what you believe, and listen, they'll come in the name of good. They'll come in, you're just too righteous for me, right? And then we go under pressure like, well, I don't want to alienate them. Yeah, we do. When it comes to compromising the things of God, we want to alienate them. And, well, I want to win them to Jesus. Yeah, but even God says, listen, flee the very appearance of evil. And you say, well, Pastor, are you promoting us not to share the gospel? No. What I'm saying is that if we are going to build ourselves up, we need to be very cautious to not hang around that which tears us down. That's what I'm saying. The influences that come into our life, if we're not careful, will be a huge negative and will destroy us. And Christians, for some reason, think that we have to subject ourselves to that because we don't want to alienate the world so that we can win them to Jesus. And the reality is, guys, Sometimes you just live absolutely right and let God shine the light on you so they see the difference in you, so that then all of a sudden they go, wow, they don't have the torment and turmoil in their world like I have in mine. Let me go find out what's going on. Right? Sometimes you just live it. And if someone asks you of the hope that is in you, then you say, hey, it's all to Jesus I owe. Right? So we have to remember to keep balance and not subject ourselves to that which tears us down. Someone just said amen, the AC kicked on. And someone said, oh, I can't believe the AC kicked on. Which means everybody's happy. It means it's balanced. I got half that say, ugh, and I got half that say, yes. And so that means I'm a hero to some and a zero to others. All right, here we go. And by the way, that status of hero and zero, it's like hero, zero. It's like a fish, man. It just comes and goes at will. I don't know. And so I've gotten pretty comfortable with that. All right, here we go. So when it comes to building ourselves up, guys, there are certain things that we have to do. And if we don't do it, it's only a matter of time we'll pay the price. It's only a matter of time. So here, Jude says in 20 and 21, but you, beloved, but you who say you love Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you, the Christian. That's who he's talking to. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. And I love the fact that, you know, he's very explicit here. On your most holy faith. Not on your faith. But on the faith that is righteous and above everything else. That's what you're going to build yourself up on. Right? Very explicit. Because the reality is, guys, and we know this, everybody has faith. Everybody has faith. Remember last week we talked about faith of you coming in and sitting in this chair? And you're going, will it hold me? I don't know. Let's see. Let's exercise this. Nobody does that. Right? And so this exercising faith, some of you have faith in nothing, and some of you have faith in Jesus. And you're going to exercise that faith. And so Jude says, you need to build yourself up in the most holy faith there is, and that's God above, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Very explicit, very direct. And so we talked about that last week. That was our first one, right? Knowing that we know the false teachers are around. And the first thing we do is build ourselves up in the most holy faith, and that is to grow and to learn in the Word of God. Amen? Then the second thing we talked about was when he says, praying in the Holy Spirit. And if you guys remember, last week we got as far as Romans 8, 15 through, or John 4, 23 through 24, if I'm correct. This is where we pick up. And Lord willing, I'll actually finish this sermon today. If not, stay tuned for part 3. All right, here we go. I know, right? It's good stuff. All right, here we go. So, the first thing is to build ourselves up, and that is to be trained to learn the Word of God. We found that in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. The second thing that he says to build ourselves up is praying in the Holy Spirit. We talked about how that is not spraying. We don't spray, and we don't pray in tongues. We don't, it's not Shakalaka boom. It's not, hey, whoop, whoop, run around. This is to pray in the Spirit. And we talked about this last week. To pray in the Spirit literally means that we have spent enough time with God. We have built ourselves up. We have such a relationship that we are praying to God through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit prays to on our behalf in groanings that cannot be uttered by man. It's not groanings that man can't utter. Because, listen, the truth is, when I was first saved, we were doing prison ministries. So this was going back 25 years ago and in North Carolina. And so they invited me, and they're like, hey, John, you know, you seem like you'd be the guy, because you what I got saved out of, I should have been in for. And, right, hey, man, let's just be honest. And they're like, you want to come to the prison ministry? I'm like, yeah, I'm down. You know, let's go. So we go, and there's about 10 of us, and we get in this big circle, and they're like, we got to pray before we go in. I'm cool with that. And next thing I know, and I said, hold it. John, you're interrupting our prayer. No, I'm interrupting your craziness. I go, I can't understand anything that anybody's saying. Well, John, he's praying in the Spirit. Well, pray for my benefit. I mean, if I'm going to go in and I'm going to be empowered by God, I want a prayer that actually helps me to be empowered by God. And so some of them who knew me very well, because it was other guys, we were meeting with other churches that didn't know me at all, and everybody just standing there like, John, you're that guy. You got to ruin it all. And I'm not trying to ruin it. I'm just saying if we're going to go in on prayer, send me in on prayer, not on confusion. Because I'm going to walk in going, I have no clue. Lord, help us. Lord, strengthen us. Lord, open their hearts and their minds to receive your word. Father, strengthen us that we speak in clarity. Like this is going to help me. And so we don't pray, and I say this not to offend anyone, but we don't pray in crazy. But Paul calls it crazy, so you can go to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and Paul says, don't pray in crazy, because you're self-edification, or self-edifying. If you're going to edify the whole body, the whole church, you pray in a language that people understand so they walk away encouraged. And so I'm down with Paul. So at any rate, I said, they're like, John, you're interrupting prayer. And I go, I'm not interrupting prayer. It's no good to me. I don't understand what's being prayed for. Well, John, now you're being rude. Well, at least you understand that. Mind you, I hadn't been saved not even but a few months. So I had zero etiquette to me. I was, as they would say in the South, rough as a cob. Anybody know what rough as a cob means? No, really? Are you got, okay, so here's what you do. Anyway, go online. Okay, so... So I'm like, this is rude, guys. It's rude that you're praying, but I don't even understand. It's no benefit. And so we talked about it. And then afterwards, we went in. After we left, we were in the car. And it was me and the friends that went with us. And they said, John, man, it's not, you shouldn't have done that. That was pretty offensive. And I said, I'm new to this because I just recently been saved. I said, I'm new to this. So I really don't know what's offensive and what's not offensive. But here's what I know. I'm not interested in hanging out with people that speak what I don't understand. Because it's of no value to me. And if it's of no value to me, it's not building me up. And so when Paul here... when Jude is saying to pray in the Holy Spirit, he's literally saying pray under the direction and the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. To be empowered and the Holy Spirit brings to memory what you need to say and what you need to pray for. I don't know about you, but if you've been praying and you say, you're praying and you might just go, Lord, I don't even know what to pray for. I'm out of words. Anybody been there? And then all of a sudden, after a few minutes, your mind wakes up, and before you know it, an hour is gone, and you have just prayed for a bunch of people that you forgot about. Anybody been there? That's praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. When you go, God, I'm without words. Holy Spirit, you know my heart. You're there. And so just bring the remembrance of things that I need to pray for and people that I need to lift up. And all of a sudden, your brain starts opening up. And now you're praying. Because God wants you to talk to Him. And the only way we can talk to Him is through the Holy Spirit. And most people struggle because they go to God in the flesh. It's all in your own power, your own direction, your own desire, with your own words, and it's so minimal. And then people go, I don't know how to pray. If you know how to talk, you know how to pray. The difference is, prayer is asking the Holy Spirit to empower you, to bring things to remembrance so that you can go and you're going to ask for forgiveness and for God to wash you clean, white as snow, so that you can go before the throne and pour your heart out in the Holy Spirit. This is the building up that Jude is talking about. Most Christians are so powerless because they leave out the power. And then they wonder why the struggle, why all this chaos, why are they so unsettled? And it's because they're still trying to do it through themselves rather than through God. And we can't leave the Holy Spirit out. And so Jude says, listen, that we are to be praying in the Holy Spirit. If we look again on verse 20, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. So praying in the Holy Spirit is in Romans 8, 15 through 16. If you have that, if you'll put it up, please. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whom we cry, Abba, Father. When we believe on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God strengthens us. He builds us up. He encourages us. We should no longer be living in fear. Because in 1 Peter it says that we have been delivered. We don't have the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind and of love. So if you've been born again, saved, this is what you should have. And you don't have the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. You don't have that spirit. You have the spirit of power and boldness and direction and deliverance from God. I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you, I've shared this story before, and I'm going to share it again because I think it's just exemplary here. What we need is the pastor that went over to China, and he was... it was China or North Korea, I can't remember which now, but he goes over and he's sharing the gospel. And he wins these two girls to the Lord, and of course he won more than that. Well, before you know it, they're up on the firing squad because they believe in Jesus. That's the only reason that they're going to kill them is because of their faith. And the one that was heading up the firing squad went up to the pastor and said, I will let you live if you deny Christ. And so he denied Christ. And then he says, if you really mean it, he handed him the pistol, and he said, shoot those two girls. And he walked up to them and looked them in the eye, and they said, Pastor, we forgive you, and we love you. And with those words, the pastor shot the girls point blank in the head. and they drop. They had a calmness. They had that sweet spirit. There was no fear. There was no fear. How does that happen except for God does an amazing work in your heart that says, I got you. I got you. I got you because you have me. I got you. Don't worry. And for that rest of the story, what happened to the pastor? Well, the one in charge of the lineup looked at him and said, we hate traitors, and shot him. He caved to fear instead of trusting in God. And here in Romans 8:15, Paul says, we don't have that spirit anymore. We don't have the spirit of that which destroys us. We have the spirit of that which saves our lives, builds us up, strengthens us, and encourages us to walk on. We do not have the spirit of bondage to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption. Now you are a child of the King. You are a prince or a princess. Where we cry out, Abba, Father. Guys, listen, all this crazy going on in the world, we don't have the spirit of fear. There's no need to be afraid. Man, we have Abba, Father. Our great and holy God who created the world, who created us, who loved us so much, he sends Jesus, his Son, to die on the cross so that you and I could live, so that we could have the spirit of Abba, Father, not the spirit of fear. So we can walk through whatever it is that comes our way. That's amazing to me. And so when he's talking here, when Jude is saying that, listen, that we need to be praying in the Holy Spirit, this is what it means to be praying in the Holy Spirit, to cry out, Abba, Father. And he'll deliver us. I'm just saying, some here, you are fighting a fight that is wearing you out. Because you have left the power of God within these pages and you've not moved it to within your heart. And if we're going to build ourselves up and be strengthened no matter what comes our way, no matter what, and I know some people go, well, Pastor, that's easy for you to say because you're a pastor. Can I help and remind you that Jude said that there are people who are going to come in who are not godly, who are going to deceive you? Let me help you out. In Romans, I don't know if I gave this one to you guys up there, but Romans 8:19. In Romans 8:19, just so that you know that there are people in the pulpit that are going to be sharing the poems of the world rather than the word of God, and they're not empowered by God, but yet they hold the title of pastor. This is what Jude is talking about. And I'm just going to tell you, if you're going to live the life of God and you're going to build yourself up, you got to build yourself up in God. You got to build yourself up through the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, because you're going to build your faith. Not everybody has that. Romans 8:19 says this. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Listen, people aren't waiting on Jesus that don't know Jesus. People aren't waiting on the things of God that don't know God. As a matter of fact, that is foolishness to that person. Me getting up here and preaching is foolishness to that person. The things of God that this Bible talks about is foolishness to that person. But to the one who knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior, this is the hope and the strength and the power and the direction and everything that we need right here. Right here. In Matthew, I did not give this to you, but go to Matthew chapter 4, and let me help you here. Well, it's just going to be faster if I go in my Bible. Matthew I just sounded so southern, didn't I? If I go, my Bible. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 4. Matthew 4, 4. In Matthew chapter 4, starting in 1, we see that Jesus, I'm just trying to catch you up to this passage so we keep it in context. This is where Jesus was tempted. So he's fasted 40 days, 40 nights from food and water. And you go, nobody can do that. That's why these are God temptings, not man temptings. We'll keep it in perspective here. And so Satan comes when he's at his weakest. Anybody relating to this so far? Right? Listen, when our world has been flipped upside down, that's when Satan comes in and attacks the most and the hardest. And if we don't recognize it, he'll overwhelm us. Well, Jesus recognizes it. And so in 4:3, he says, "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' And Jesus answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" And so, obviously, we can read the Bible until we die, and it's not going to feed us physically, right? So we know that when Jesus says this to Satan, he is not talking about food, the physical food. He's talking about spiritual. And the key word here is, man shall not live by what he eats alone. But if he's going to live, truly live, and I'm talking live out loud, live that life that he's looking for. Some of you found out it was put on our Facebook page. Thank you, John, about me doing a podcast called According to John. And I'm starting, getting ready to start another podcast. It's probably going to be a month down the road or so before I get it going, but it's called In Search of Oz. And it might be a shameless plug, forgive me if you think it is. But it's called In Search of Oz. Because the world is Dorothy and Toto and the lion and the scarecrow and the tin man. And they're like, oh, if we can just get to the wonderful Wizard of Oz, everything will be great. And what people fail to see is that God is Oz. And we leave that which we have to go find or be in search of what we don't even know. And so Jesus says here, listen, you can live on bread. You can be a vegan, you can eat meat, you can do whatever you want, and you're going to sustain life. But you're not going to live. Because if you really want to live, that you will focus on the things of God, the Word of God, which gives you wisdom, gives you understanding, gives you strength, reminds you, gives you peace, gives you direction. Amen? And that's what he's talking about here. Man shall not live by sustenance, food sustenance alone. But if he really wants to live life, he'll master this. This is where all the answers are. I look around and I see people's lives falling apart, and I'm like, they're leaving out the most crucial thing that's going to build them up and strengthen them, and that's the Word of God. And then when I approach him with this, there's usually a couple of reactions that I get. One, if I'm talking to a Christian and that they know me well, they'll go, "I know, Pastor, I know." And that's as far as it goes. The second is, "Well, Pastor, I don't read." To which I respond, I know. It shows. And then the third is, "I don't have time. I don't have time. Pastor, you don't understand. I got to do this and this and this and this and this and this, and I just don't have time." To which I respond, you don't have, you, You need to take the time. Because if you want to accomplish all of this and get it done in a fashion that is honorable to God, brings you peace, and gives you more time, you need to focus on God, because he can do more in 2 seconds than what you can do in 2 years. And so when we look at this, Jesus is giving us the recipe for success in life. Right here. We need to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's our, if we do that, we'll live, not just merely exist like many of you are today. I was in a discussion the other day with someone, and they were getting ready to do that which they shouldn't be doing, and I pointed out scripture to them, and I said, listen, this is what the Word of God says, and the response was, Pastor, you don't understand. I have to do this. And I go, but God's telling you not to do that because you're going to hurt yourself. And then the response was, what's the Bible know? And then my response was, so you're not a Christian. To which then the response was, how dare you judge me? I didn't judge you. I just called out what Jesus said. If you don't believe the word, you're not of him. And so, guys, when we look at this, we have to remember that if we want to live and truly live life, not just exist, we need to do it by the Word of God. If you leave God out, you have just left everything that you ever needed to survive at camp, right? At the camp, and you're out hiking somewhere in the wilderness, and it's going to be real hard to get back. All right, so In Galatians 4:6 says this, and because you are sons, this means children of God, God has sent forth the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, of his Son, Jesus Christ, into your hearts. Literally, when Jesus says, listen, I'm going to go, but I'll come again, it's because we are going to receive his Holy Spirit to guide and direct us and teach us and be a part of us. And so, guys, if you're struggling, it's because we're not listening. Verse 7, therefore you are no longer, and I'm just going to read this, you guys don't need to put it up, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ, which means you should have success. Now, I didn't say you won't have problems, but what I'm saying is the problems won't have you. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all. Let me back up to 17. Thank you guys for putting 17 up there as well. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Literally, it means in the power of God, via the Holy Spirit, being watchful to this end, being very diligent to pay attention to everything that's going on, with all perseverance, don't quit. 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 All perseverance. In society today, we have this mentality, and I don't even, I mean, I say I don't know where it came from. You know, it's just a matter of time before, and I've said this before, if you go into a barn, the cows don't come out smelling like you, right? If you've ever been in a barn, you come out smelling like the cows. For whatever reason, and I know it's society and the pressures of society and all that which comes with that, we have this tendency to just quit. And I think the reason that we quit is because we don't put the value into the things of God because they're not tangible. We think, oh, well, if I can't see it, touch it, feel it, taste it, it's not there. And it's all just hype. And I believe me, I can hype up the Bible. My favorite event in the Bible is that of Job. And Buck's laughing because Buck and I were talking. I was like, dude, did you read the book of Job? And he goes, what do you mean? And I go, oh, let me tell you. And so I share this whole thing about Job and everything. Did I just jump like a, anyway. So I read this whole thing, right? And I get, we just talked 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I just gave him the highlights of Job. And what did he do? He went home and read Job. And he came back and went, how did you get all that out of Job? I read it. I wanted to poke my eyes out about chapter 16. How many have ever read the book of Job? Right? Is it not a cool book? How many wanted to poke their eyes out about chapter 16? Okay. A lot of you are like, yeah, I'm right. It's as bad as Leviticus. Well, the reality is, though, is when you look at the book of Job, man, you talk about empowered and God moving through his life and trying to teach him. And listen, the Word of God, right? The Word of God. And we need to hang in there. And Job, if you read Job, he hung in there. He hung in there. Even his wife said, curse God and die. And he was like, woman, get out of my face. Okay, he didn't really say that. What he said was, even though God slay me, I'll serve him. Perseverance. And you know what happened is in the end of Job? Normally I don't give away the ending of the story, but Job is blessed 100 times greater than anything he ever had because he honored God and was faithful. He persevered. Guys, we can't not persevere. We got to stop quitting. Seriously. We got to stop quitting. Some people, they'll go home, and some of you, you'll leave here, and you go, let me read the book of Job, because I need to be encouraged. And you'll get in the book of Job, and once you get past chapter 6, if you didn't grab hold of the first 4, you're going to struggle after 6. But if you grabbed hold of the first 4 and you understand when his friends come in and they're like, Job, you're at fault. Job, you're the reason. Job, you're not as godly as you think you are. Job, it's because of you. Job is, and finally he's like, I didn't do anything wrong. Why are you accusing me of this? Because man was trying to say, well, Job, listen, you got to be full of sin for your life to fall apart. That's what they told him. And he's like, no. And the reality is his life wasn't full of sin. He had one issue. It was a pride issue. And God's like, I'm going to teach this boy a lesson. I'll allow Satan to beat him up a little bit. And then in the end, man, God's like, Lord, you, or Job's like, God, you are God. Forgive me. I surrender. And then all of a sudden, God blesses him beyond belief. Perseverance. And supplication. How many of you, and I don't want to even see hands, I don't even want to know. This is like a rhetorical question just for you to ponder for a moment. How many of you go on your knees on behalf of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Genuinely. Genuinely pray for the lost. Genuinely pray for those who are hurting, and then you invest some time in to help those who are hurting so they're not hurting so much. This is the supplication. Guys, if we're going to build ourselves up, if we're going to live, let me help some of you out here. Someone say amen. There you go. Okay. I wait until I see blue lips, and then I turn it up just a tad, right? To give those who have blue lips time to get their color back and give those who are feeling really comfortable start feeling uncomfortable, and that way everyone stays awake. Amen. All right, here we go. So, listen, We got to hang in there with all perseverance, guys. As people, and I don't know if this is just as a whole. I'm really not sure what's happened. People have lost their fight. People have lost their fight. In the name of comfort, we sacrifice, only to sacrifice our comfort. If we're going to build ourselves up, guys, it's going to be uncomfortable. How many here used to work out or you work out? I see I gave you an option for everybody to raise their hand. I don't know about you, but when I work out, it's uncomfortable. It gets uncomfortable, amen? Man, you get cramps, you push too far, you didn't prepare, you pull a muscle, you go to stretch, and your body goes, we don't do that no more. How many have been there, right? And so guess what we do? We're like, yeah, you're right, we don't do that no more. Let me just sit down right here and get all comfy. Oh, and then, right, because we don't stretch anymore, so it's difficult to get the leg up. And then we click TV. Some of you go, wow, Pastor, I didn't know you were watching me and know exactly that what happens. The reality is, guys, that we've lost our fight. In the name of comfort, or the desire for comfort, we've sacrificed it. I think it was it Edison or Jefferson? I can't remember which one now. That said, those who won't fight for, or who do nothing in the name of freedom lose both, or who choose safety over freedom lose both safety and freedom. We have neither. You guys, anybody? At any rate, look it up. That's a semi. I'm close to the quote. But those who will give up freedom in the name of safety will have neither freedom nor safety. And I'm just going to tell you that if you don't persevere and hang in there and fight and pray for your brothers and sisters, and you're not building yourself up through the Word of God, and this is the most, this is the most important thing you can do, is build yourself up in the Word of God. And if you fail to do that, you're going to go down like the Titanic. And you're like, oh, the Titanic sank. No. Before the Titanic sank, it took a blow. And because it wasn't equipped to handle the blow that it took, it was a matter of time before the pressures of that which surrounded it caused it to break in half. It broke. So first it was wounded, and then it broke. And then it sank. That's what we do. If we're not built up in the Word of God, you're going to get wounded. Some of you already are. You're so wounded, you don't even know how to deal with it. And the first thing that you give up is that which saves you, and that's the Word of God. And then it's just a matter of time before the pressures of everything around you will break you. And then you'll sink. And the only way to avoid that is to build ourselves up in our faith, stay in the Word of God, and to stay in the Word of God so that we can pray through the Holy Spirit. So we know how to pray. That is truly what it's going to take for us to survive. And don't quit. 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 I'm just telling you guys, don't quit. Don't quit praying for others. Don't quit learning and growing. Don't quit crying out to God. Don't quit holding on to God. Don't quit loving Jesus. Don't quit being moved by the Holy Spirit. Don't quit praying for others. Don't quit. If we're going to build ourselves up and be successful, and I'm not talking money, I'm just talking, you know what, because everybody in this room would give up every dime you had to have complete peace in your heart. Amen? I don't know about you, but I would. I'm going to take it. It means nothing anyway. Because if I'm not settled here, it doesn't matter what I get if I'm not going to be settled. It doesn't matter where I move. I'm not going to be settled. It just doesn't matter. If you can't get this settled, nothing else will help you. You'll fight and struggle and fight, and you'll look to fulfill it in every way that man has to offer, which, by the way, will bring forth death. Death of some sort, whether it's physical death, financial death, marital death, friendship death, family death, it'll bring forth death. And you're like, oh, Pastor, you're taking it to the negative. No, I'm just trying to tell you. If you can't settle this, nothing else in your life is going to bring you what you're looking for. Nothing. Jude says, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying through the Holy Spirit. I love you. I love you guys so much. I carry you so deep in my heart. I pray for you every day. Because I want you to have success here. I don't give a rip about the external, because the external don't matter when this is gone or when this is tumultuous. And until you do it God's way, you will always, always, always struggle. Always in search of that one thing that's just going to satisfy you. And you're not going to find it. And then when you think you found it, it's not going to taste as good as you thought it would. I was in the office working the other day, and I'm going to end on this, and we'll have part three next week. I was in my office, I was working. How many ever you're working, and then you're like, I need sugar. Amen? Yeah, right. I'm like, I need sugar. So I have a thing full of mints, and that's not the sugar I need. I need real sugar. So I go, I don't want to get in my truck and drive. I'm too lazy for that right now. I'll walk across the street. The parts store not only has parts, but they got candy bars on their shelf. Let me go over there. I'm going to get a candy bar. So I go over there, and I'm like, I just want a little piece of candy, just something to satisfy the taste, right? And so I get over there, and what the first thing I see? King-size Reese's peanut butter cups. So now the idea of little is out the window. And I look at it and I go, do I really need all of that? As I'm reaching for it, I answer my own question, no. I buy it. He says, $2.79. Okay, it's sugar here. So now I have it in my hand, and I'm leaving the parts store, and I'm coming back to my office. And as I'm heading back to the office, I'm like, I got sugar. I got sugar. I got sugar. And I'm looking at it going, this is going to be so good. And so I get over, get to the office, open it up, pull it out. I can smell the peanut butter. This is going to be a good day. Okay, this is going to be a good moment. I pull it out, I look. The chocolate's kind of faded. Man. What do you think I did with that? I ate it. I ate it. I was like, okay, it wasn't everything I wanted, but it's close, and I'm not walking back over there, and it still smells like peanut butter. And so I'm like, yeah, all right. And then I went, that didn't taste the way I thought it should. But I didn't stop there. I went, well, maybe it's just because my taste buds needed to be awoken. So I took some water, washed the palate, and pulled the next one out. It was less white. And I went, this is a good thing. And so I ate it, thinking, I've already challenged my palate with the first one, and now I'm going to satisfy it with the second one. The problem was, it tasted like the first one. And I'm like, golly. All right, you know what? It could be me. I'll put it in the fridge and have it the next time I come up. So the next time I went to the office, I got into the fridge and I pulled it. Reese's peanut butter cup. I'm thinking, no. Nobody better be in my office taking my food. I got cameras. I pull it out and I think in my brain, it'll be better than the last time I tasted it, right? Come on. How many here are with me so far? Oh, that's what I'm talking about. So I pull it out. It's still a little discolored white, but I think to myself, but it's cold now. What's better than a cold Reese's peanut butter cup? Nothing. Take it out. Tasted like the first one. Take a swig of water because I paid $2.79 for it. I'm eating all of it. I take the last one, indulge, and then take a mint to get rid of the taste that wasn't as fresh as it should have been. And I'm still not satisfied. Guys, I'm telling you, that is what we do in life. And the only thing that will satisfy, other than a fresh Reese's peanut butter cup, is that which never dies, and that's the Word of God. I challenge you to find out where you're trying to be fulfilled. What is it that you really want deep down in your heart, heart of hearts, that only you can answer and nobody else? What is it that you are searching for? And then I challenge you to try and find it in the Word of God. If you put him first, he says he'll give you the desires of your heart. Unfortunately, when we're not getting our desires, he's the first that we push off. And yet, that's where all the answers are, is in God, with God. I challenge you, get back in the Word of God and don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Father, I thank you for your verses. And Father, I'm trying to push through this passage, but I just feel like you want me to hang out here, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hang out here, Father, and just help to build and encourage to build. And so, Father, I know that there are some here who are struggling. I know there are some that are listening online, they're at home. Father, I know that there are some who are struggling in their heart of hearts because they've sacrificed you, Father. They have given up on you and started looking around and looking down and looking for everything that the world promises and have given up on you, Father, who promises us the world. Father, I pray right now, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would empower each and every person listening today. Father, that you would empower them to persevere. Father, that you would empower them to hang in there, and not just hang in there, Father, but to become so strong that they start fighting for the saints, praying diligently on their behalf. Father, I pray that as we begin the process to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, that we start in your word. Father, we read your word, we memorize your word, we live it out, understanding, Father, that you want to bless us. You want to bless us with that contentment in our soul, that we are satisfied no matter where we go, no matter what we do, and no matter what comes into our circle or our sphere of life, Father. We are satisfied in you, knowing that through you we are secure. For you have not given us the spirit of fear, Father, but of boldness and of a sound mind and of love. Father, help us to exercise all of that. Help us to understand, Father, that if there is a spirit of fear, a spirit of anxiety, a spirit of discontent, Father, that is not of you, that is of Satan trying to disrupt our world, and that we need to get anchored tighter and tighter into you, Father, so that we cannot be disrupted, disturbed, or distorted in any way that we walk and live. With every head bowed right now and every eye closed, if you're here today and you're struggling, you know God, you know Jesus as your personal Savior, but you're just struggling, I want to pray for you right now. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. If that's you, you're struggling right now, but you know that you know Jesus, will you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Amen. Hands up all over, all over. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for those who raise their hand, Father, I pray right now that you would touch them and empower them. Father, that you would do so in such a way that it grabs them at their core. And Father, they were moved in such a way that they can't be silent, because you have brought wholeness to them and they have to shout it out. And so, Father, I pray that you would bring wholeness to each and every one that raised their hand with struggles. Father, for those who didn't raise their hand but they're struggling, I pray the same for them, Father. Father, I pray that we would quit looking to the world and to the things of the world to give us what only you can provide. Help us, Father. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me just say this. You will never be content within yourself. You will always be angry. You will always be in search of. You will always be discontented. You will always be distorted in some way, shape, or form. Because the only filler for that hole within you that you are in search of filling, that is a God-sized hole only, and only God can fill that. Now, you can pour into as much junk into that as you want, but it'll never satisfy, because only God fills that hole, that void. And so if you're here today and you are ready to just surrender all to Jesus, you're ready to fill that void, then I want to challenge you to give your life to Christ right now. And this is how you do it. The Bible says that you believe. Believe. You just simply believe. Believe that God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. and that only through Jesus are your sins forgiven. And that if you believe in Jesus, you become a child of God, and you get all the favor that I just talked about today. You get all the strength, all the filling, all the availability of that which God has becomes yours. Now, you can't fake it with God, and so if it's not real in your heart, He'll know. But if it's real and you're ready, then I ask that you pray this prayer. Not that the words are magical, because the words are not magical. The words just give you a time stamp where you go, no, this was the day that I, on purpose, made a decision to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior and to put all of my faith in Him. That's all the prayer does. And so if it's your desire to give your life to Christ today, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, today I surrender. Today I repent. I repent. I turn away from the sinful living that I'm searching for, the sinful things of the world or the things of the world, whether sinful or not, just that which I'm trying to fill the void that only you can fill. I repent of all of my ungodly ways. I turn my life and I pursue the things of you, God, not the things of the world. I repent. Jesus, I give you my life. And the best that I know how, I surrender.